What I'm going to talk to you today, and Pastor Al's preaching next Sunday, but then we're going to pick this back up the following Sunday. What I'm going to talk to you about these next couple Sundays is so awesome. The Lord was able to use it down at this board meeting, and it was just such a great time. So the sermon this morning is called Finding the Sweet Spot. Finding the Sweet Spot. And Berg, I'm going to really move through this to get to so that the title makes sense. Amen. But last week we finished up in 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14. It says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, right? Now again, if we skip verse 14, we can make a mess out of that one, can't we? Verse 14, now here's what it is. Here's what it is to act like a man, to be a mature believer. Let all that you do be done in love. Tell you what, church, that has been challenging the you know what's out of me this week. You can fill in the blank on you know what. I don't know, whatever it is. Man, it's like, man, has the Holy Ghost been holding my leash real short on that one. You know? Seriously, this morning, welcome back. 3:15 a.m. this morning, I woke up out of a fairly sound sleep. I punched my wife in the stomach last night, falling asleep. I had like my arm, like you get that arm twitch?
Yeah.
Pow, right in the stomach. It was awesome. She's like, go back to Florida. But then at 3:15 this morning, I woke up and my small children were screaming at each other. Just like, yes, no, yes, 3:15 this morning. Praise God. Let all that you do be done in love as I'm going down the hallway to kill somebody. Anyway, we're going to get into 1 Corinthians 12 right now. So there's some other stuff. I'd encourage you to read my notes. I'm skipping some stuff for sake of time here. But 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to work our way through 1 Corinthians 12 for a couple of Sundays here. And we're going to be in Romans 12 as well, because that's the other section that Paul specifically teaches on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 3, not concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that an interesting opening statement to a chapter on spiritual gifts? It's a strange one, right? Does anybody else think that's a weird way to open this chapter? And as I was reading it this week, something clicked with me, and I want to share it with you. There's probably far more here, but this is what really nailed me this week. As I started thinking about, Jesus warns us in Matthew, and I also think it's in Mark, but Jesus warns us about being led astray, right? He warns us that the enemy will deceive. Everybody say, if possible. If, so it doesn't mean it's automatic, but if possible, Jesus says, even the elect, right? So like, basically leaders in the body of Christ, right? You strike a shepherd to keep the sheep scattered, right? The enemy will go after kind of all sheep, but he really wants to hit leaders. Because if a leader goes down, there's all these people that were looking at this leader, right? And so, but here's what he says. He says, this is how the enemy is going to do it, with great signs and wonders. And what struck me, I looked it up, what struck me is, you know how I hear that all the time from people? They say, well, Pastor, it's great lying signs and wonders. Here's the problem. It does not say that in the Bible. It does. The word lying, we add that in. So how is the enemy going to deceive in the end times, even the elect? How? With signs and wonders. Because what we're going to think is, wow, look at what that guy just did. That has to be God. No one could do that except that God is doing it. But look what Paul says here. No one, speaking by the Spirit of God, says Jesus is a curse, and no one says Jesus is, what's the word, church? not God, Lord, my King. You see it? In other words, he's in control. When you see the scripture talks about to humble yourself under the hand of God, it's a military word right there in the Greek. It means to rank under. Right? Anybody been in the military? If you've got a ranking officer, do you talk back to a ranking officer? You do not. Unless you want to run till your feet fall off. Or do push-ups till your arms, right? Do you understand, church? So, think about this just for a moment, and then we're going to move quickly. It would seem to me that Paul is telling us here that we need to be, he says, I don't want you to be unaware. Unaware of what? Unaware, the Greek word here means lacking in knowledge or training. It could be also translated as ignorant, right? But verse 2, he says, when you were pagans, the Greek word here means unbelievers, right? A pagan is just someone who's an unbeliever. But look what he says, that pagans, when you were pagans, right? You were unbelievers, you were led astray to mute idols. But how? Because, my beloved, let me subject this to you, and you can grind this out on your own. Be happy to talk about it next week, the week after this week, because we're going to go on a little short vacation, my wife and I. Amen. So, is it possible that because we're so attracted to gifted people, as pagans, as unbelievers, we are led astray because we said, man, look how gifted this person is. What they're telling me must be right. Can I get amen? Yeah? What we need to examine, my beloved, is the fruit of this person's life. Right? Is this person's life fruitful? Fruitful is not numbers. That's American gospel, which is not the gospel at all. Fruitfulness is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If this person's married, has their marriage? If they have children, are their children well behaved? In general, except for 3:15 in the morning when they're screaming at each other. Right? Can I get amen, church? Is this all right? Verse 4. 4-7. We're going to get into this, break this down a little bit. What I think Paul is opening this chapter with is saying, I don't want you to be unaware. Just because somebody is gifted does not mean that what they're doing is right. Man, I've made that mistake so many times. Like, wow, look at this person, so gifted. And put them on the platform and then it blows up. And I'm like, man, right? I finally figured out, I need to know who you are. I don't care what your gifts are. Who are you? Right? And once we grind that out, we all got to grow and change. Can I get amen? But are you the kind of person I can trust? Can I lean on you? Are you going to be honest with me? Whatever your problems are you going to be honest about it? Yeah, I tell everybody all the time, if you're honest, I can work with that. If you lie to me, we're going to have problems. Yeah? Amen. Verse 4. Look at this. There are a variety of gifts. Church, I know we think we know this. Let's read it slow here, right? He says, now there are varieties of gifts, but what? Same Spirit. And there are varieties of what? Ministries and the what? Same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons, but each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit so that they can become a superstar in the kingdom.
Amen.
For the what? Common good. For the common good. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans 12 right here. We're going to go to Romans 12 and finish in Romans 12 this morning. Rachel, I hope you don't have anything in the oven because it is going to burn. I'm just kidding. Maybe. Romans 12. Verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, we talked about this during worship, right? By the what, church?
Mercies.
Mercies of God. Right? How do we come to God? Because we're good or because he's good? Because he's good, right? To present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now let's read this like we've never read it, because this next one, we think we all know it. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What goes on in your mind? That's where you think. Probably some of you don't do a whole lot of that. I'm just looking right down here. I know exactly where I want to look right now, but I'm not going to look right there. Person might be in the second row over this direction. Possibly. Might be his birthday today. Your mustache looks good, bro. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that, everybody say so that you may prove or understand what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. Everybody say four. See, we stop right there, don't we, church? Except Paul's next word is four, which is a connecting word in the Greek. It's there. Paul's not done with the thought yet. For, through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of ourselves, and we don't care about anybody else. Oh, that doesn't say that. We're members of one another. Right? Transformed. Let our minds be. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Transformed or changed, right? Our mind, my beloved, is part of our soul. And our soul is what continues to get us in trouble after we've been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, tongue-talking believers. Can I get amen from anybody that their soul gets them in trouble once in a while? Right? Come on. Anybody ever get mad? Nobody here.
No one in this church.
No one in this church, obviously. Super mature. You know the Bible doesn't say that you can't get angry? It says get angry and don't sin. We can get angry. It's just what are you going to do with it? Right? But he says to us to be transformed, right? So that we understand what God's will is. But look what he says there next verse, for through the grace. Meaning, my beloved, that one of the things that we need to have happen by the Spirit of God in the renewing of our mind is, look what he says here in verse 3. This is so fascinating, and we're gonna bridge this back into Corinthians 12 two Sundays from now. He's saying, through the grace of God to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Pause. What's Paul saying here? Not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, right? You know, what's he talking about? Anybody want to throw the word out? Right. Starts with a P and sounds like ride.
Or that's the end of the word.
Yeah. He's talking about pride, right? Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. You know, there's not a scripture in the Bible that I found that says not to think too lowly of yourself. Can I get amen? Right? When we humble ourselves before under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt us in due time. Humble yourselves, therefore, before God. And right, submit to God. Humble yourself. Rank under God. Then resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. If the devil's not running when you resist, it's because you're walking outside of your submission to God. Because the word of God tells me, if I rank under God, right? Not he's my buddy, he's my commanding officer in the Lord's army. Rank under him, submit, and resist, and the devil runs away with his tail between his legs. Is that all right? But let me show you something here. Paul is dealing in this statement, my beloved, with pride, because the most common issue when we begin to realize that we are good at something or gifted by God, the number one primary issue that almost everybody's going to deal with is some type of pride. Oh, look at what God is doing with me. So many years ago, Missy and I used to be prophesied over a lot. I mean, a lot. Remember Pastor Al? I mean, it was like once a month, man, somebody's calling us out. Thus says the Lord, you know. And I remember after like months and months and months of that, of many prophecies, I remember one day I was just thinking to the Lord, I was kind of like, yeah, must be pretty important that the Lord is sending all these prophets. You know, that's right. And the Spirit of the Lord said, son, I'm sending all these prophets because you're not listening yourself. He says, if you start listening, I'll stop sending donkeys your way. I was like, ouch. That was lovely. But you know what, my beloved? I started listening to God myself. I've been prophesied over maybe 5 times in the last 15 years. And when I am prophesied over, I said, yep, that's a confirmation for what I've already heard from God. Right? That's what prophecy really should be, my beloved. When somebody prophesied over you, if you're listening to God, you should say, yes, I was waiting for that. Now I, pow, right? It's my fleece I've thrown out, right? The Lord wants me to do something, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. And I'm waiting for a word from God to confirm it. Yeah?
Yeah.
But let me say this, church. Pride is such a sneaky adversary, like a snake, man. You know, snakes, they find a way in. You know, they can fit through these tiny little cracks in foundations. You know, snakes are just weird, creepy animals. But I saw something, and I posted this. Some of you saw it on Facebook. And I thought it was so powerful. And I have it in my notes here. It says, pride is concerned with who is right. Humility is concerned with what is right. Next time you get in a fight with your spouse, I'm just going to look over here. Maybe each one of you should back up and say, instead of me trying to prove that I'm right, let's figure out what actually is right. It'll be the end of many arguments. Can I get amen?
Yeah.
Think about this, church. Let's just raise your hand. How many of you have been right in a situation and yet completely wrong at the same time? There's in my 11 years of ministry, there's been so many times when I've had situations when I'm like, wow, yes, I can say this now. And I say it and it just completely explodes. And I'm like, what on earth happened? And the Lord's like, you were right, but I didn't tell you to say that right now. He says, I was telling you to shut up. But I'm right. He says, and you're wrong all at the same time. How's that for making your brain hurt? Right? Wise man keeps his tongue behind bars. So let's keep reading. Paul says, right, can you get me back to that verse, Ruth? Not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but, say but. Josh, it's your favorite word. Only one T on it, though, bro. But to think, so to do what, church? Think about what? Think about yourself. Think about, that's what Paul's talking about, right? He's saying, I don't want you to think about yourself more highly than you should. Through the renewing of your mind, I want you to think of yourself with sound judgment. Really, the Greek wording here, effectively, church, means accurately. So what I just said a moment ago, the Bible doesn't say anywhere not to think too lowly of yourself. You know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying, I don't want you to think too highly, but I also don't want you to think too lowly of yourself. Do you see this, my beloved? See what happens, we realize that we're gifted and God's made us, he's called us, and we get a little puffy about it. Oh, here we go, yeah, baby. You know, we're like jersey popping when something goes good. Some of you have no idea what that is. But you know what I mean? Like, I remember like driving home from here, man, one Sunday, I'd been leading worship all the years, and we had a great Sunday. Church, man, I just thought it was awesome, you know. And the problem is we were singing Chris Tomlin songs. That's all we sang. Now we sing Chris McClarty songs every Sunday. We were singing Chris Tomlin songs every single Sunday for months on end. And I remember driving home one day, and I'm thinking, I didn't feel prideful, but I was like, Lord, that was such a great worship service, man. It was so powerful, and it was so good. And I was really just, I thought I was being grateful, you know. And the Lord speaks to me, and he says, son, if I wanted Chris Tomlin at your church, he would be there. Then he says, but you're there because I want you there. Amen. When I started preaching, I was preaching like this preacher I was listening to. Driving home on Sunday, man, that was a good one. He said, son, if I wanted that preacher at your church, he would be there. But you're there because I want you there. I was like, all right, strike two. I got it. We got to find the sweet spot, church. I'm going to show you something next week that will blow your minds. My buddy Eric, Pastor Eric at the Cape, he is a fabulous Bible teacher. And I shared with him one morning eating breakfast what I'm going to share with you next Sunday. And he was like, it doesn't say that. I said, oh, yes, it does. And I showed it to him and he was like, bro, this guy's been teaching the Word of God for 35 years. I was like, mind blown. And it's right where we're finishing up right here. There needs to be, my beloved, a sweet spot where we're not thinking that we're too important, but we're not thinking that we're not important at all. We've got to find the sweet spot. And sometimes, like, you ever see those videos on Insta or TikTok or whatever, where the dudes are, like, mountain biking along the top of, like, it's cliffs on both sides? I'm like, these guys have mental health issues, obviously. Why on earth would you do that? Right? But it's like that. It's in the spirit, my beloved, it's like we're walking a tightrope in a sense, right? And there's pride on one side and then like false humility on the other side. Right? And you know what false humility is? It's just a weird way that pride hides itself. Right? See what it is. If, this is all preview for two Sundays from now, but think about this. If we're too, like, demonstratively prideful, what it is we think, I'm better than you, and I don't need you to help me get where I'm, God's called me to go, right? It's this I don't need you thing. But the other side of that is my gift isn't good enough to help you get where God's called you to go. Both of those, my beloved, are lies from the enemy. Do you understand? God has gifted every single person in this church. Every single one. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how long you've been a Christian for. You can be a Christian for 9 seconds and God has given you a gift. Amen. I'm going to prove it right now. We're going to be working on, Elder Mo and I are having a meeting this afternoon, and we're going to be talking about how to, later this year, we're gonna maybe set up some seminars on Saturdays or something. We're going to talk about how to some of you already know what your gift is. Some of you are already flown in it, amazingly. But many of you are not. And what we're going to do this year is we're going to spend some time outside of Sunday mornings to try to help each one of you figure out what your gift is, what God's gifted you to do, and how to activate that in the body of Christ. Because, my beloved, think about this, Ephesians 4:16, then we'll finish up in Romans here. But Ephesians 4:16, you know what it says? One of my favorite scriptures in the whole New Testament. And the Lord said to me this years ago, he says, son, this is why pastors are burning out. Because we think pastors are supposed to build the church. Right? Everybody heard that? That is not in the Bible anywhere. The Bible says the opposite of that. Right? So church, people come to churches and think, oh my gosh, there's the pastor, or there's the prophet, there's the worship leader, you know, whatever. Wrong. Wrong. That's wrong. Ephesians 4:16 says that when every joint supplies, or another translation would say, when every joint works properly, the body will build itself up in love. In love. Build itself. I saw that years ago, and the Lord said, I don't need you to build anything. I need you to do what you're gifted to do. I need everybody else to do what they're gifted to do. And then God's like, I will make that thing grow. You don't got to do nothing. Can I get amen? Let's go back to chapter 12, verse 4 of Romans. Almost done. Really am, church. I've been short for two Sundays in a row. Praise God. I like it. For just as we have many members in how many bodies, church? One body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, since we have gifts that differ according to the, what? Grace. You know, grace is supernatural power of God. The grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. Look at this one. So prophecy sounds like a cool gift, right? We talked about that last week. Paul calls prophecy the greater gift, right? So he starts off here with prophecy. But look at the next gift. This is a gift of the Holy Spirit, my beloved, that you need supernatural power to do. Service. In his serving. I'm just looking at, there's like three or four of you I just look at right now, that you serve and you love doing it. Right? You like organizing stuff and setting up plates and stuff and tablecloths. And I came here for a ladies' function. I was like, man, y'all waste a lot of time and energy. Guys were like, it's on the floor. I'm like, I'll eat that still. It's fine. It doesn't matter. Right? Guys are like, where are we meeting? In the bathroom? Okay, it's fine. I don't care. But it was like, I walked in and it was a ladies' function. I was like, wow, this is... I feel like you guys should love me better. Church, you see this? A supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit is serving. Look at the next one. He who teaches, well, that's a gift. He who exhorts, I was talking with one of our newer members last Sunday about exhortation. God is going to gift people in the body of Christ with the supernatural ability to exhort people. And let me tell you this super fast. All right, literally almost done. Exhortation, my beloved, is not comfort. See, if I want someone to just put their arm around me and say, it's okay, buddy, we need that. That's important, but that's not exhortation. Exhortation is like, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, I didn't want to lead worship anymore. Church, I'm telling you, I was done. I did not want to do it. And I called Pastor Eric in the Cape, and I said, he leads worship at his church still. I don't think he does anymore, but he was for years, leading worship and preaching every Sunday. And I called him, I said, bro, I'm done. I don't want to lead worship anymore. And this is what he said to me. Has God given you another worship leader? And I said, well, no, that's the problem. That's the problem. You know what he said to me? You know what I wanted? I wanted, it's okay, buddy, I know. He said to me, bro, get your heart right and get back in there. He exhorted me. You know what exhortation is, my beloved? It's a kick in the pants. Stop being such a crybaby and get back in there. And sometimes when we think we need comfort, what we really need is a kick in the pants. Get back in there. Can I get amen? Spiritual gift. Couple more here. He who? Oh, Pastor, that's not my gift. See you later. Praise God. I know I don't have that gift. You're not off the hook, all right? Church. We're all called to give. Can I get amen? Tithes, offerings, all that stuff. But what Paul is telling us is that God will anoint certain people with an extraordinary gift of giving. And my beloved, just because somebody shows up in a nice car does not mean that that's who's got the gift of giving. Can I get amen? The only guy with the nicest car here laughed at that one. Praise God. Yeah, come on. Right? Look, you don't have to have money to have the gift of giving. Everybody should have said amen. He who gives with generosity or liberality, that's not liberalism, that's a wholly different topic. We'll preach on that someday. He who, with diligence. He who, you're like, that's not my gift either, definitely. I'm not gifted in that one. We're all to be merciful, my beloved, but God is going to equip certain people in the church with a supernatural ability to be merciful to those who have fallen and are broken. And their job is not to lead that person to the mountaintop. Their job is to get them out of the gutter and say, God's not done with you, man. Come on, get back up here. Let's go. Right? Look at verse 9. Let's stand up. Oh, my goodness gracious. You guys ready to be convicted again? Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Wow. You know what Paul's doing here? He is saying, look, here's all these cool gifts. But if your love is not genuine, these do not matter. They don't matter. This is how we're led astray. Do you see it, my beloved? When we see people that are gifted, what we need to look past is past the gift. Does this person love like Jesus loves? That's the litmus test. Can I follow this person's gift? Well, do they love right? If they love right, then men, let their gift, let it rip in the church. All right? Can I get amen? Amen. Is this all right? Father, in Jesus' name, thank you once again, Lord, for just a great, great, what a sweet time of worship. Father, I pray that we'd see as a body this last verse right here. Yes, we need to work, look at gifts and all that. Absolutely, amen. But God, it's our responsibility to love our brothers and sisters like you love us. Forgive us, Lord God, for any hypocrisy in our love, anything that's been ingenuine, anything that sometimes we do it innocently, Lord. But I pray that, Lord God, above all, above any of these other things that we look at these next several weeks and later in this year about our gifts, Lord, that we would genuinely love one another. Lord, if we make that our aim, then the gifts that you've given us will flow seamlessly. There will be no competition. There will be no one-upping each other and conflict and all that stuff, God. If we love the way that you've equipped us to love, the gifts will flow beautifully. So, Lord, I pray that those of us that are married and kids at home, teach us how to do this. Those of us that are single and living at home by ourselves, Lord, help us find people. Teach us how to love, God. Those of us that are whatever stage of life we're in, Lord, teach us how to love without hypocrisy. Let us find that sweet spot. And Lord, anything that tries to pull us one direction or the other, just like you said through Isaiah the prophet, when something's calling you to turn to the right or to the left, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, no, this is the way. walk ye in it. Jesus' mighty name. So, Lord, we love you. Grateful, God. We're grateful people for all you're doing in our midst in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said amen. 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 Guys, have an awesome week. If you need prayer, please come on up. We have some people that will pray with you and agree with you. Facebook and YouTube, man. Have an awesome week, everybody. Prayer, guys, will be here on Wednesday, 7 o'clock. Missy and I are headed out to Cape Cod for a few days on Wednesday. But if you need anything, we're available. If you have any emergencies or anything, please don't hesitate to reach out, and we'll be happy to accommodate you. Amen. In Jesus' name.